Let's open our Bibles to John 3:16, and let's read that together. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, something we all need to think about, the Bible, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But it doesn't say faith is developed by hearing. It doesn't say that. It says faith comes. But then the development part is on your part. You've got to act on what came. Isn't that true? So faith comes, you see it, but now you have a choice to make. You could say, well, I don't know about that. Faith is an action. So without faith, but faith that's not acted on, maybe I say it that way, faith that's not acted upon is dead faith. Living faith is acted upon. Amen. So let's read John 3:16 together and 17 and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What did Jesus, it says he came in, he was not sent into this world to do what? Condemn. The Word will condemn you. The Word itself is, isn't that what it says in verse 18? It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Neither should we. We're not here to prescribe some kind of punishment for people that don't believe. We're to do what? Love and forgive. Amen. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just going to spend a moment here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 13. It says, for God who command, I'm sorry, verse, let me look, let's look at verse 6. Sorry, I'm back up. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give, why did he shine in air? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But, what? We have, that means we have something. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I like this now. We are troubled on every side. We may have some troubles. Yet, say yet, not distressed. We are perplexed. Some of us have been perplexed. Anybody been perplexed? You don't know what to do. But not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having, the saint, who's that? We. We having, that's you and me, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and what? What's the spirit of faith do? It believes, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So that means we having the same spirit of faith, we are going to do what? Believe and do what? Speak. Now I'm going to say this. Faith, and now let's do this. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. And want us to look. I'm sorry. Actually, let's back up to the 35th verse of chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. There's a reward for casting not away your confidence. For ye have need of patience, might say endurance, after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So faith doesn't draw back. Faith steps out. Faith reaches out. Why? Because it's confident. That means once you determine what the will of God is, you can believe, you can have faith for that. And that's an important, let's just stop here. A lot of times we make faith statements, I believe. I believe God. Well, it would be no different in the natural. Let's just say in the natural, I came in here and I said, hypothetically, I've got some money. And I said, I'm going to give five people $1,000. Could you have faith for that $1,000? If I said, I'm going to give five people $1,000, could you have faith for that $5,000? You could. Okay, let me ask this question. Let me ask it again. If I came in here and I said, I'm going to give five people $1,000, could you have faith for that $1,000? You could. Okay, how many said yes? You could have faith for that $1,000. How many not sure? No, I'm just asking a question. Just be honest. If you're not sure, you're not sure. How many say no? You couldn't have faith for that. Okay. Let me ask this question. Did I say I would give you that $1,000? I didn't say that. Okay. So let me ask this question. How many, if I said, I'll give whoever wants $1,000, whoever wants $1,000, how many could have faith for that? Or how many have faith for that? How many said yes? Okay, how many not sure? You're not sure? Somebody ain't even answering. You're not sure about what I'm saying, right? Okay. You're not sure what I'm saying, right? Well, let me ask this question. When the Bible says, whosoever comes to me in faith, believing, shall be saved. That's whosoever, right? When I said, I'm going to give five people $1,000 in here, how do you know I'm going to give you that $1,000? So how could you have faith in that? That's a question. Okay, so your desire is your faith? Well, that's a good question. So let's probe that, see? Because that's really where I think a lot of people, when faith is concerned, they desire something and they think that's faith. Or I desire something, so that's that substance for my faith. Your need is not what God responds to. God doesn't respond to need, and God doesn't respond to your desire. You could have intense desire and be out in the left field somewhere, and God won't respond. I could desire to be healed, but does he respond to my desire? That's an honest question. Does he respond to my desire? Okay, so let's look at that verse. Mark 11:24 says, "What things soever you desire, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Okay, so how do you know God desires that for you? How do you know that's his will? How do you know that's his will? You desire it. But did he promise it? Okay. But you desired it. I desire that, God. And so it was the same way in his ministry. That man came up to him and said, "I desire to be made whole." And the Lord said, what did he say? "May I be clean," I think it was, right? And he said, yes. So he responded, he affirmed with a yes. So he doesn't respond to your desire. He responds to your faith in what he's promised. God responds to his will. Our faith in him. So if he's promised something and I have faith in that, then I can have hope or desire that it'll come to pass. But my desire, if it's not hooked up, if it's not his will, I can desire all day long. It's no different. You could say, I'll give you an example. Let's say a person says, "I desire that job. I want that job at that building in that place." But I think in those cases, we need to say, "Lord, I desire a job," and he will reveal his will in that. Even Jesus said, "Lord, your will, not mine." But things that are promised in the Word of God that he bought and prayed for, I can have faith for that. I don't need to ask him. He's already said, "Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, and with his stripes I have been healed. Who his own self bore my sins." And some of the other scriptures that support, I don't have to ask God, "Lord," well, let's use this example. "Lord, it's my desire to be saved. Would you do that?" See, but that's what I mean. So you have to find out what the will of God is in a particular subject. When you find out what his will is, then you can have faith for that. But desire, I can't have desire for something that it wouldn't even be his will. What if you desired to be married to somebody who's married? I desire that, Lord. I just desire that person. I mean, but you see, he's not going to respond to your desire. He responds to faith in something that he's promised. Isn't that true? So hope, sometimes people get mixed up with hope and desire, and I hope this, I just really wish this would happen. That's hope, and there's nothing wrong with wishing something. I wish this would come to pass. And you can have that. You can have a hope or a desire. You can desire something, but you better find out what His will is first. See? And that hope, when I say hope, that desire, that longing, when we say Bible hope, in other words, let's say it this way. Wouldn't you say that there's a biblical or a Bible faith, a God kind of faith? Well, we know it is, because we can go over to Mark 11:22, and we can see what the God kind of faith is. And what did He say it is? He said, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." That's Bible faith. "Therefore, what things soever you believe, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them." So when we look at Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." So now, I don't think you can say, because you can look these words up, faith isn't the substance of something that I wish would come to pass. No, that's not Bible hope. Bible hope, when you look up the word hope, it really means, when you look it up, it means to have a confident expectation. That's not wishing. That's not a desire. Faith gives substance to something that you hope for. So some of the things that have become clearer to me, I'll say it that way, is why the devil works so hard at discouraging people. Because faith gives substance to something. Now that word substance means, in at least in my margin, the word substance means ground or confidence, or you could say a foundation, something that rests upon something. So if I have a ground or confidence or a substance, hope sits on top of something that's a ground. You see, it's a support. So my faith in God, who promised something, I can be confident because He said it, it shall come to pass. And because of that, my hope, my expectation rests upon that faith in God, that confidence in God. I expect it to come to pass. I'm looking for it. That's not wishing now. That's not Bible hope, see? Bible hope expects this thing to come to pass. That's not I desire. No, no, no. No. See, Bible hope expects it to come to pass. Why? Because of faith. See, faith says, I trust God. I believe He promised that to me. Now, how? How do I have faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So my faith comes from hearing this. We'll go one step further. It doesn't say in the Bible, faith comes by reading the Bible. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. And faith can also come by the Spirit of God saying something to you. He can say, I'm going to do such and such in your life, or I'm going to give you this. That's just as strong as something promised in the Bible. So God, when He promises something in the Word of God, I can have faith for that. It's settled. And that's why, you know, we hear little faith, great faith, weak faith, little faith, you see. But somebody who has faith in what God has promised. And because of that, I am hope. I have hope because of something that is supporting there. What is it? My faith. And so hope can confidently expect something, not wishy. Not I'm wondering whether it's coming to pass or not. I am persuaded that this is coming to pass because of my faith. You see. And so sometimes it's good to examine whether I am in faith, whether I have a confident expectation. Because if I don't, then I might not be in faith, you see. I might just be wishing, you see. And there's nothing wrong with wishing or hoping something. That can come, I'll say it this way, that can come before faith. Wishing to do something, wishing to have something, wishing to be something can come, a strong desire can come before faith. But then one has to then find out what the will of God is to have faith. Faith in God. See, if God has promised you, we read in 1 John, I believe it's 5, where it says, I wish above all things that you be in what? Sick? No. It says, I wish above all things that you be in health and what? And prosper. So you can't sit around and wonder whether it's God's will for me to be in health or prosper. There's too many other scriptures that support you being in health. You see. So we can't wonder. We can have faith for my health. And because of that, I can expect my body. Now, what does that mean? I'm not talking about, boy, I'm so sick, I'm so tired, I'm so this, I'm so that. Well, then I have to ask at that point, are you in faith? If you're in faith, then one, what do we say? Somebody who has the spirit of faith believes and speaks. So if you're in faith, then it's evident by how you're speaking. Because let's say it this way. The spirit of man expresses itself in this natural realm through the body. We can see that. The spirit of a person that doesn't know God, we can see that. The spirit of the world, we can see that where it expresses, it's being expressed through the bodies of people here in this earth. All kinds of corrupt things are going on around us. That's being expressed. Well, faith is also expressed by how we speak. Faith without works is dead. Faith is an action. And the first thing that we do when we are in faith, our confident expectation, our hope, it speaks. It says, I'm going to do this. Why? How do you know that? Think about this. What did Jesus do in his earthly ministry when he, you saw the man lowered through the roof where he was teaching? What did it say? He said he saw his faith. He saw their faith. What did he do with people? He said, take up your bed and do what? And walk. He wanted them to do what? Act. What they believed. You see? And that's no different for us, that we're going to have to act or speak what we believe. We can't just say, I believe. There has to be an action associated with that, otherwise it's dead faith. It's not faith. Dead faith. So if we are confident that God has promised something, and I have a confidence in me that God promised it, then there's an action. I remember one particular time I was home, and I had some symptoms, some fever symptoms in my body. And I was really, you know, when I would take my temperature, it was over 104, close to 105. It was very high temperature. And I was home, and I just chose. I said, okay, at that time, I got a tape of Brother Hagin's. This is, I can tell you how long ago this was. It was a cassette tape, and I just put it in my cassette player and just let it play to the end, flip it over, let it play, flip it over, let it play. I did that for almost 24 hours, just playing a tape, playing a tape, playing a tape. And after about 24 hours, you know, the symptoms were still strong, and I'm confessing, God, this body is going to be restored. This body is going to change. This body is not going to be subject to this sickness. And so, I'll just say it this way, at that particular point, because my faith was not as strong, I said, well, you know, just in case, I'll make a doctor's appointment. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. So I called and I said, you know, blah, 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 you know, da, da, da. And they said, okay, come in at this time or whatever it was, the next day or whatever. And so I continued to play that tape, continue to play that tape, continue to play that tape, feed on the word, feed on the word, feed on the word. Faith comes by hearing. And I remember it was early in the morning, I'm laying on my bed, and boy, I'm telling you, and I'm praying in the spirit the whole time, feeding on the word. And it was like a volcano erupted out of my spirit. And it was like a sword. It just come up. And I started to speak in tongues, and man, I had it. I knew it. It just come out in tongues. I felt horrible, but it came out of here like a lightning rod, like a sword. Well, what did I do? Did I get back in the bed? Nope. I said, I got it. I knew I got it. Took a shower, got up, went to work. Well, I felt like 50 miles of bad road. I couldn't even sit up in my chair. I'm serious. But I made it to work. I got up and I went in. That's faith. Faith will get up when you know you have it. When you know you got it. I knew I had it. And of course, the symptoms left. So you've got to know. Now, if you don't know like that, well, then call the doctor. I'm serious. Don't play with things like that. Don't play with, well, I believe God. Okay, I believe God. Yeah, you could believe God and be dead. Because it does say there's weak faith. And so it's important to know that if you are not in confidence, and you'll know, don't play with that. Because there is a faith where there's confidence. And how does that come? Feeding on the word. Just keep feeding on the word, feeding on it. And So anyways, what I was sharing is that hope doesn't bring the manifestation, yet hope is needful. Without hope, you won't have anything for faith to give substance to. So you have to have a confident, that confident expectation comes because of faith. Because you have faith, you can confidently expect something to happen. Because of faith, you can hope. See, faith, hope, I'll say it this way, faith, what does it say? Faith is the substance of. That word of is very important. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith gives substance to hope. And that was important for me in understanding when people, you go around people enough that are in hospitals, people that are in pain, people that are discouraged, or we could go another way. Go into some areas of society where there's an inner city, people lose hope. And they become discouraged. They have no confidence of ever getting out of there. They have no confidence of living a better life. They've lost hope. But you see, how many, there's been people, we've heard stories, I'm sure every one of us have heard stories about someone, a mother, father, family, that have lived in those settings, that have imparted hope into their children that we're not going to stay here. We're going to live better. We're going to have better. We're going to do better. Is that not right? And many have aspired out of that, and they've had confidence, and that confidence has given substance to their hope. That I'm confident we're not going to stay here. We're not going to stay in this situation. We may be in it. We're not staying in it. Well, they just had confidence in their own ability, their own sense of just, we're not going to be here. Well, how much more? We can have confidence in God, who's promised us something, that we can expect, even though I might be here in this situation, I'm confident I'm coming out. I'm not going to stay here. See, and then that gives substance to my hope. My hope, my Bible hope says, I'm looking for it. I'm expecting it to happen. That's if you look it up. If you look up the word hope, you just look that word hope up. It says a confident expectation. That's what it is. So when you're confidently expecting, you're in hope. And that has been given substance to by faith. What faith? Faith in God. I'm confidently expecting it to come to pass because God promised it. He promised it to me. It's in His Word. So I have faith in God and I'm expecting it to change. My body might be acting up, but God promised me that the same Spirit of God, the same Spirit of Christ that raised Jesus from the dead is going to quicken my mortal body. I don't feel any better. It doesn't look any better, but I'm expecting it to change. See, that's faith giving substance to hope, you see. So that's the thing that we're looking for. And so when a person becomes discouraged, when they lose hope, they lose a confident expectation that something's going to change. And that's what the devil goes after. He gets people discouraged that it ain't never going to change. And then what happens? Well, maybe God didn't want that for me. You see, that's what happens. And when you look up this word discouraged, you just look it up in the dictionary. Listen to this. It says to deprive of courage or confidence. To dishearten. Here's another definition. To make less determined. To make less determined. To try to make people not to want to do something. You see. And, of course, you can look at, you know, a synonym of discourage means to demoralize, to dismay, to frustrate, or to unnerve. See, and I'll go this far. When somebody gets frustrated, you're not in faith. Because why are you frustrated? If you are confident that God is going to have this thing come to pass, why are you frustrated? Because if you're in hope, you are confident that it's coming to pass. No need to be frustrated. The Bible says if you're in faith, there's a rest. If you're resting, you're not frustrated. Isn't that true? You're not frustrated about something. You are confident it's coming to pass. You see. So that's why I say when we look at faith is important. But when I say important, it's absolutely important to make sure, am I in faith? Number one, am I in faith? Because if I am, I'm confident. I am absolutely confident. And because of that, I'm looking for something to change. What is it? Now, faith is the substance of what? Of things. What things? Things that God has promised. Things hoped for. So what am I hoping for? I'm hoping for the things that God promised me. So those things have to be looked up. You got to have, that's the thing. Substance of things. See, does that make sense to anybody? I mean, it makes sense to me. The more you meditate on it, I said, boy, you know what? The more I find out, the more light I get, the more I said, you know what? I had to admit the other day, I said, Lord, I wasn't in faith in that. I really wasn't. I thought I was, but you know what? I really wasn't in faith over that. Because if I was, there'd be an absolute confidence. And I said, you know what? I have to admit, I didn't have that level of confidence. Because otherwise, I'd be looking for it. I'd be expecting it to come to pass. And you wouldn't be looking at circumstances. You wouldn't be even considering them. Because what did Abraham do? It says he staggered not at the promises of God. But what was he? Was what? He was fully persuaded. He didn't stagger. He was fully persuaded. See, that's faith. Why? Because he's the father of faith. Let's look at that scripture for a moment. Romans chapter 4. Let's just read it. I think it's a good time to read that. Romans chapter 4. And look at let's start in verse 16. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, that's us, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So when God gives us a direction, when he gives us a promise in the Word of God, we can have faith for that. I can believe for that. Why? Because he promised it. And then because of that, I can start to expect it to come to pass. And somebody might say, well, you know, I believe in God for the last 10 years. Okay, if he promised it, are you sure he promised it? Yes. Then now's why, now you need patience. What does that mean? Perseverance. I remember it was somewhere around 1980, 81, the Lord spoke to me in my room. I was praying, and I heard the audible voice of God speak. Now, it sounded to me like this, like in a room, open. But it really was inside. It just sounded that way. But he spoke to me and said, I'm going to do such and such in your life. I'm going to do these things. Well, you know, it was so far out beyond my thinking, I thought, I almost want us to be like Sarah. Yeah, right. But I didn't say, yeah, right. I got excited and you know, started to pursue some things, but that really wasn't God's desire. But it didn't mean that he wasn't going to bring those things to pass. So how long ago was that? Around 1980. 81. So they didn't start to be a reality until about 2005. So that's almost 25 years. So when you don't see something, what are you supposed to have? Patience. You're supposed to be faithful. You're supposed to do the things that God has led you to do and directed you to do. So in my case, he said, come and work in the ministry here. So that's what I did. And started doing that and did that for 25 years. So those were years of development and preparation. But it didn't mean he wasn't going to do what he said. He's bringing to pass exactly what he said. Now, I could not believe that and put myself and position myself over here in left field somewhere, and guess what? I'd be out of the will of God. But I obeyed and positioned myself where I was supposed to be. I was in the setting, and I needed to be developed. And then in due season, you will reap if you do what? Faint not. So that's what happened to me. I reaped. I'm beginning to reap that. Because I continued and fainted not. See, and I had faith that God was going to do that. Now, I can't say that there were times that I didn't feel a sense of discouragement, because after so many years, you begin to say, and I did. I said, there were a couple times I said, well, maybe he didn't really mean that. Oh, yeah, he did. He meant exactly that. Right to the T, he meant it. So when God shows you something or reveals something to you personally, and I say it this way, if it was God, he gonna do exactly what he said. You need to just take the little steps that he tells you to take. If he tells you to go over here, you go over here. If he tells you to go over here and you're there for 5, 6, 8, 10, 20 years, then you stay steady. Be faithful to what he told you to put your hands to. And so, because of that, he rewards faithfulness. He rewards faith and faithfulness. So it's important, I just say all of that, it's important where faith is concerned to know that you know that you know it's God's will. You are where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that's on a personal level, and then even where the Word of God is concerned, knowing that it's His will in His Word. And I can have faith in this promise. Now, faith is the substance of things. And because of that, I have expectation. I can confidently expect. And we said all of that. This is an entry. You can look this up. These are translations are available online. Let me read this. This is called the New English Bible. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Well, this is, as I said, the New English Bible. And this is how it starts. It says, "And what is faith? ? Faith gives substance to our hopes." That's what the New English Bible says. The Berkeley version of the New Testament, it says, "But faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for." So we ask for it, we believe, we receive, and then what are we supposed to do? Look for it. If you're in faith, you're expecting. You're confidently expecting. Let me read this from a few other translations. This is the Weymouth translation. It says, "Now faith is a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope and a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see." So, let's go back and let's look at Hebrews 11:1 again. I think it's important to have this. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence," what's the evidence? Your faith is the evidence of things not seen. So, if you are in faith, then it's not yet. That means you don't have it and you can't see it. So when people will say to you, "Well, I'll believe it when I see it." Well, no, you can't believe something when you see it. You wouldn't believe it. You'd know it. You'd know you have it. So you have to believe something that you can't see and you don't have yet. So this will give you some insight. We profess, the ministry does, we believe to receive $80,000 per week, and we profess it. Now, we first had to know, we just didn't grab some number out of the air and said, "You know, I think we'll just believe for that." See, that's you know, I'm not putting Sister Audrey on the spot, but when she said, "Well, I desire that," I could desire $1 million a week. But did God tell you to call it in? Do you have the faith for that? No. He spoke to us, the pastors, independently. We weren't talking about this. And he revealed that particular amount of money to call in weekly. He said, you believe and call in $80,000 a week. Why? I don't know why. Well, first of all, that's something that he put in our hearts to do. So we believe God because, first of all, he revealed it. So I can have faith for that, number one. And what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to expect, I'm looking for, But it's something that you don't have and you don't see it yet. So faith is for something that you don't have and you don't see. But it's promised by God. So if I have faith for something, then, you know, some folks will say, well, I believe God, I'm healed. Well, you don't look healed. Right. Exactly. And some people will say, well, you know, they'll dance around with a whole lot of words, you know, and things like that. But Bible faith, if you're in Bible faith, then it's something that you don't have and you don't see it yet. So if you're believing for money and you're expecting it to come in, then it's something that you don't have yet. Hello, that's faith. And you're expecting something to come. That's no different for prosperity and also for your health. Or whatever it is that God has promised you. You can believe God for the things that God has authorized. Amen. And you can confidently expect. And it's something that you don't have or don't see yet. Let me read this. This is another version here. This is called the Worrell, W-O-R-R-E-L-L translation. It says, now faith is an assurance of things hoped for, a sure persuasion or proof of things not seen. So that word hope, and again, you can look it up. It's Strong's 1680. If your Bible students want to know, you can look it up in Strong's Concordance. It's number 1680. It's an expectation of good. It's a joyful and confident expectation. That's what it is. It's a confident expectation of something. So my faith causes me to have a confident expectation. Amen. So this faith that we have, let me ask this before I go any further. Did that answer some questions? Did that answer a question that you had? You asked a question and said, I desire something. And I think I started this whole thing because I said, how many could have faith if I said, I'll give five people in here $1,000? And you said, well, I could have faith for that. So let me ask this question. Let's go back to this. After I said all of that, let's ask this question. Did I promise you personally $1,000? Okay, so how do you know it was my will to give you personally $1,000? I said, I'll give five people in here $1,000. So how could you have faith in me to give you personally $1,000? I know you desire $1,000. But how could you have faith in me because of your desire? How do you know I promise you $1,000? You can't. It's impossible. Because I didn't promise you $1,000. And God doesn't respond to your desire. I'm not going to respond to your desire. Neither does God. He responds to your faith in something that he's promised you personally. So if I said, I will give whoever wants $1,000, well, I could have faith in that because he said whosoever, didn't he? You see. So I think it's important when faith is concerned, God does not respond in this world to needs, a lot of needs. We'd be having miracles constantly. He responds to faith in him. A lot of people need to be saved, but it's faith in him. Faith in the sacrifice of Jesus and what he did and a profession of the mouth. Is that not true? So he doesn't respond to your desire to be saved. You have to believe in your heart and confess. I could desire to be saved, but until I believe and profess with my mouth that I have this, I believe you, Lord. I believe what you did for me. And I confess with my mouth. And that's the same thing. I believe, Lord, that you died for my salvation. And that salvation provides for the restoration of my body. That provides for the restoration of my finances. That provides for health and prosperity, my restoration. I can believe for that because you died for me and that provided that. Now I believe that and I profess it with my mouth. As I'm walking, I live by faith. What does that mean? Every step I take, I live by faith and I walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not moved by the conditions of my life, but I'm expecting things to be fulfilled in my life to support what he promised. I have faith for that because he promised that. You see. But now things that might be different that he didn't promise, but see, he says, we are his workmanship. And so he has a call on everybody's life. He has a different path. So I can't just, without checking in with him, I can't just decide, I want to go live over in this town. I want to go to this church. I want to go to this college. I want to go to this place over here. Well, maybe he don't want that for you. So now Audrey has a business. What if I just said, well, I want to be a business owner? And he doesn't want me to be that. So it's his will be done, not my will. You see, now when he reveals his will for you, then I can have faith for that. You see, and I can expect that he's going to empower me to fulfill that. Isn't that what happened when you look at Hebrews 11, you're right there. Look at verse 11. See, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. But he had to promise something. He had to say, such and such and such is going to happen to you. And it says here, through faith also Sarah herself received strength. She was empowered to receive seed that was promised. The seed. So when God promises you something and he says, I want you to do such and such, and you by faith believe that, then he does what? He empowers you to fulfill that which he's called you to do. And your path is different than mine, than the Ashans and Brother Ralph and Sister Edna. All your path is different. His will for your life may be different than mine. But when you receive by faith his will for you, he will do what? He will empower you to do that. He will give you the wisdom. He will give you the understanding, the knowledge. He will provide the doors that you walk through. And I can have faith for that. When he shows me what my path is, then I can have faith. Circumstances may be, you know, opposing. They may not be what I expect them to be. But if he showed me, then I can have faith for that. And I can expect that that's what he wants for me. And I can expect them to come to pass. Why? Because he showed me what his will is. You see? So just because circumstances are contrary, circumstances don't dictate the results. My faith does. that woman with the issue of blood, when she heard of Jesus, right? Let's turn over there. Let's read that, Mark 5. Mark chapter 5. And look at verse 25. It says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse." So she was in a tough spot. And what does it say? When she had heard of Jesus, so that means she heard something that she could have faith for. Well, we know that. She said, "came in the press behind and touched his garment." So you know she believed what she heard, because then what did she say? She said something. That's the spirit of faith. She heard something, she believed it, she embraced it, and then she said something. "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." And what happened? The power of God was released, because it said here, "and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And of course, you can read down, the disciples said, you know, "What do you mean, who touched me?" You can see all the people around about. And then verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, told him all the truth. And he said, Daughter, thy faith," not Jesus' faith, her faith. Faith in what? Faith in what she heard. She had a confident expectation. She was confident that she was going to have some change in her body. And when you think about the condition she was in, she was unclean. And so she had to risk her life by going out in public, mingling, and touch Jesus. And she was unclean in her culture. But she was so confident that what Jesus said, it didn't matter what the circumstances and the conditions and the culture, she heard Jesus say something that she said, He promised that. That he'll heal my body. You know, when I just saw something here, you know, when you look at, keep your finger there a second, I'm going to come over here and read something from Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 17, I'm just going to read this. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." Verse 19, "accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Now you figure this woman, by going out in society at that point, unclean, she should have been stoned to death. But she had faith that God was not only going to heal her, but it doesn't say, but she was willing to risk her life, counting that God would heal her even in those conditions and protect her. So you can see here, Jesus said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." So that's why I ask, when God promises something, and I wrote this down in Nanuet, because it was one of the meetings I was at, I heard the Holy Ghost say this. It was a Wednesday night. He said, "What doth hinder your hope? What doth hinder your expectation? What doth hinder that?" And, you know, is it discouragement? What doth hinder your expectation of God. Because if your expectation is being hindered, then so is your faith. Because if you are in faith, you're not frustrated and you're not discouraged. Regardless of the conditions, you are absolutely convinced and confident that God promised it. I don't care what the circumstances say, but I'm expecting change in this situation. I'm expecting it to change because God promised it. I'm expecting it. Now that's faith. And if we aren't confident, then you have to examine yourself and say, well, am I in faith, Lord? Maybe I thought I was, but maybe I'm not. So even one way you can tell whether you're in faith or not is have some opposition come for any length of time. Have some conditions pop up. If you're in fear, you're not in faith. If you're fearing the conditions, you're not in faith. Now, that doesn't mean, and I've experienced this, faith, you know, fear in the mind and the flesh can come. But what's in your heart? Does your heart fear? And you know the difference. You know, I guess I'd say it this way, you know, you know when you love Jesus or not. Are you confident that you love Jesus? Are you confident that you're saved? If somebody said to you, well, I don't know, how do you know you're saved? You say, well, I know I'm saved. But how do you know you're going to heaven? I know I'm going to heaven. And you'd fuss at folks to tell you that, well, how do you know that? You don't know you're going to heaven. How do you even know there is a place? I know there's a place because he said so. I haven't seen it, but I believe his word that there's a place set apart for me called heaven. And there is a place called hell. Well, how do you know that? Because there's a lot of people teaching that it's just, you know, that the devil is really just a some fictional character. You got to be crazy not to just wake up and look at the news and see that there isn't a devil at work in this earth. But we know there is because we can read this. And we can look at scripture upon scripture upon scripture that not only supports that, but also supports what some of the conditions will be that were prophesied of the conditions of this earth would be. You could go read Matthew 24 and you can see that. So we have things, that's why I say, how do we know something? Why do we have faith and confidence in something? First and primary is, I have a more sure word of prophecy right here. And I can have faith in God because of his word, and of course, things that he may have shared with us personally. And so I have confidence. And because of that confidence, I have hope, which is a confident expectation of something that's going to come to pass. And, you know, when it talks about, as I said before, when it talks about, you know, discouragement, are you being deprived? Are you deprived of confidence? Are you disheartened over something? Are you frustrated over something? Are you less determined over something? You have to examine that and say, if I am, then maybe I need to get back and just say, Lord, I know you told me. I'm sorry. Because it might just be I started looking at the conditions. I started looking at that. I kept that in front of my face, in front of your promise, instead of your promises. I know we were, I know you've heard Brother Copeland talk about this. We were at some of his meetings Friday and Saturday. And he shared something. He said at one point their ministry had gotten to a place of about $6 million in debt. And he said, you know, they were having a director's meeting, an annual director's meeting, and he said this thing weighed on him. And he said, I just kept looking at this number, going, oh God, what are we going to do? And he said, you know, he just kept looking at this figure, looking at this debt, and he said, it began to affect his thinking and his heart. Because he kept meditating on that. And he said, finally, he said, you know, he said it was the day before this director's meeting. And he said, you know, the ministry, all the various departments put together all the information necessary. And he said, he's going through this report, you know, for the ministry. And he said, looking at every area of the ministry, he said, they wrote best year we've ever had. Looked at this department, best year we've ever had. Looked at this department, best year we've ever had. Looked at this department, best year we've ever had. He said, what? He said, he shot up and said, this is the best year we've ever had. He said, but he was looking at this one area of the ministry that had a debt. He was focused on that and not on the rest of the ministry. It was the best year they ever had. See, sometimes we can focus on a problem and get to the point where we're focusing on that, lose heart, and we're forgetting that God, all the rest of our life, is a blessing. So he said it took him a little bit to get that out of his mind, out of his thinking, and forget about it. And he said within a real short period of time, months, he said that debt was completely gone. So whether it's that or whether it's health or whether it's money, you know, sometimes we get focused in on that little thing. We have to go back and, like he said, God said to him, he said, now everything I've told you to do, and I think what he said was, he said, yeah, every, that's what he did say, he said, every department that's flourishing, he said, those are the things I told you to do, and that one that's not, he said, you're trying to handle it instead of me. So he said he just let the Lord handle that and show him what to do. But sometimes things that don't work, we have to go back, and it goes back to the same thing. Did God tell me to do it, and did he tell me to do it that way? If he did, then it should prosper. It should prosper. And so, well, I hope I answered. I hope, because every time I teach on this, it comes out a little different. And this is just this is just starting with the subject of faith. This isn't all the other facets of faith. But if you're in faith, you're confident that God promised it, and you're expecting something to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know where it's coming from, but you are expecting it to happen. And you're looking for it. You're looking for it. Well, look at this. Look at this here a second. We're in Hebrews, right? Keep looking at Hebrews. And look at verse chapter 11 and look at verse 13. What does it say? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. So they didn't have them yet. See, so this is still faith. They saw the promises afar off, and it says, but having seen them afar off, and they were what? Look at the three words. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them and confessed. Now, yes, it says and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, but I want you to just look at those three words. They were persuaded, they embraced them, and they confessed. So faith does what? Faith is persuaded, faith embraces, and faith confesses. So I have to first be persuaded that God told me to do this. I'm confident. I embrace it. I receive it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What does it say? Faith. What did it say? Therefore, it says, what things soever you desire, believe you receive. You have to embrace it, and it shall come to pass. You got to confess it. I believe I received, and therefore, it's coming to pass. So faith, let's say that, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. My faith is the evidence of things hoped for, things not seen as of yet. You're looking for it. You're expecting. You know, you order something. You're expecting it to come, right? You picked up the phone, you ordered it, or you ordered it online. You say, tell you it's going to be there in 2 days. 2 days come by. You're looking for it. I'm looking. Ding dong. That must be it. That must be my package. You don't say, boy, I sure hope they send it. No. If you ordered it, you believe that it's coming. You're expecting it. You're looking for it. You're persuaded it's going to come. You don't sit there and go, boy, I sure hope they send it. Boy, I wonder if they're going to send that package. Boy, it's been a whole week. I wonder. No, if it was a week, you'd be on the phone. You'd be looking for it. Where's my package? Right? Now, that's just a worldly example, but if God promised something, then you can expect it to come to pass. That means it's going to change. And at that point, you'd be led, be directed to God, by God, as to how that's going to be fulfilled. See, I'll say it this way. Maybe say it another way. About 14 years ago, I had this little stomach disruption here. And I was in severe pain. I mean, pain that I could really, it was there all the time. It was like a fire. Worse than, I don't know, what's the hottest hot pepper you can eat? It was worse than that. It was just, and I like hot food, but it was fire all the time. I really didn't sleep. In pain, I would doze off and wake up. And I'm confessing the word of God, believing God for my body to be changed. And so after about a year of that, it actually started to get worse than better. And so I'm standing, and I'm believing God for things to change. So I went on vacation, happened to go on vacation at that particular time. I went with family, brothers and sisters, parents, and so forth. So when I came back, you may have heard me tell this story. I was in the shower, standing there taking a shower, and I heard the Spirit of God very softly down here. Nothing loud, but it was just a still small spirit, still small voice. And I heard this. If you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. That's all I heard. Now, I knew I was in pain. I'm in real dire pain. So I'm standing there and I said, okay, July, August, September, October, November, December. That's only 6 months. Now, you think I would have done something, but I didn't. It was another 2 weeks before I decided to go to the doctor because I believe I'm healed. And I wasn't getting off that. And so it was finally one day I woke up and I said, wait a minute, that was the Spirit of God that spoke to me. I know His voice. He knows more than I do. I better go to the doctor. So I went to the emergency room, and so forth and so on. And out of that, you know, they said, take this medicine. I said, okay, fine. I'm looking for some relief. I'll take this. So then I go to a specialist who was the top specialist at the hospital. I make an appointment. And I go there, and I walk in. Before I even, they never examine me. He walks in the room, and he starts professing a bunch of negative words. And he never examined me. He said, this doesn't look good. And I'm thinking, what? No tests, no examination, nothing. And he said, this doesn't look good, blah, 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 blah. And he said, well, what medicine are you taking? I said, oh, I'm taking this. He said, oh, no, you don't want to take this. You want to take this. And I said, thank you. I ain't never coming back here. I had a check in my spirit. I did. I just had this check. Didn't feel right. Just something. I didn't hear the Spirit of God, but just the witness. I said, not coming back here. And he wanted me to have, you know, the typical kind of test, an endoscopy. You want to look inside, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. And I said, I don't think so. So during that time, I happened to end up, you know, when I was home, I said to Pastors Quentin and Sarah, I need to take a week or two off and just walk through this. And they said, okay, fine. So I took a couple of weeks vacation. And during that conversation, Pastor Sarah said, well, have you ever thought about going to this person? I said, no, I don't know this person. I said, okay, why don't you go? He was a chiropractor, but he was also a nutritionist. I walk in his office. He was a Christian. He immediately, first thing he said to me, he didn't even examine me. He's a chiropractor. He says, I'll have you turned around in 5 days. And I look, he said, you got that look on your face. He said, this is what he said. He said, you know how many of these I've treated in my life? He was in his 70s. He said, you know how many of these I've treated in my life? I said, no, sir. He said, over 5,000. He got my ear. He said, I'll have you turned around in 5 days. He said, do you know your stomach will heal itself in 5 days if you don't put any food in it? I said, no, sir, I did not know that. And so he immediately, and I said, and my spirit, I said, bore witness. See, so that's why I was professing the word of God, and God said, you know, you need to change something. This was a dietary issue. And if I can confess the word of God, that's why I say you need to understand, I was professing the word of God, and then my diet was doing this. And I'm saying, heal my hand. Heal my hand. And I'm putting food in it and mashing it. You understand my point? So I was contributing to the problem. I'm confessing I'm healed, but my diet was contributing to my problem. That's why I say every situation, you need to get the Spirit of God involved in things, because you can stand there and say, I'm healed, and it may be a simple adjustment over here, and you don't know that. And the Holy Ghost will say, go over this direction, which is all I did. I didn't take the doctor medical route. I took a nutritional route. And I wasn't a nutrition person, trust me. So, he put me on pureed foods, no food, just pureed stuff. And I could only eat a little bit. And I lost weight. I looked like a stick. I got down to about 150-some pounds. But in 5 days, the fire started going out of my stomach. And in 2 weeks, it was turned around. And I thought, and see, so that's why I say the Holy Ghost will lead you in directions that will get you to the right path, you see, and the right thing. So that's why I say sometimes, you know, we can be believing, I'll use another simple example, we could be believing God for prosperity and we're not disciplined with spending our money. We're not disciplined, you see. But I'm believing God. See, I could be believing God for my health, but I'm not disciplined with what I eat and I'm contributing to the problem. It could be the same thing with finances. So God will lead us as to how to be disciplined and diligent with our eating habits, and we don't have to get into the ditch with all, you know, you shouldn't eat this and you shouldn't eat that. Ask the Holy Ghost. Ask Him what you should do. Ask Him, do I need to exercise a little more? Do I need to do this? Do I eat this? Do I eat that? Be led by the Holy Ghost, because your body is different than mine. Your needs in your body are different than mine, you see. So it's the same thing where finances or health is concerned. Once you find out from God, we know His will is to be healthy. We know that. But the walking out of that, we have to do. We have a part to play in this. See, does that make any sense? You're all looking at me with two eyes here. Okay, praise the Lord. All right. I hope I answered some questions. You all look blank this morning. I don't know. Maybe that's because you're all processing it today. I don't know. I've walked through some of this stuff, and things that I thought I knew, I didn't know. That I'm just trying to see. You know, Pastor Hagin says it this way. He's saying the same thing. He's just saying another way. He said, the natural coming together with the supernatural makes an explosive force for God. So you have the natural and you have the supernatural together makes an explosive force for God. God's supernatural power has to work through this natural body, doesn't it? And the spirit, but it's the two coming together. We have a part to play. We have to believe, we have to profess, we have to conduct ourselves in this earth realm in a way that the power of God can operate through us, you see. And sometimes natural things are contributing to the problem. Not always, but sometimes it can be, you see. Things that we're doing are contributing to the problem. Amen. Well, let's close. We have this serve communion. Father God, we thank you for this discussion and subject of faith. We thank you, Father, that even through eternity, we'll continue to learn about it. We'll have further revelation of it. So we thank you, Father, that as we meditate upon it, you'll bring things to our remembrance. You'll bring this to our heart. As we grow, we thank you for the words, the seeds that have been deposited in our heart. As we water them, we thank you that it'll grow up into a mighty tree that'll bring forth fruit, the fruit of faith in our lives, and it'll bring pleasure to you in Jesus' name. Amen.